Hello there, everybody! How you're doing? I hope you all have a great day or night, depending on where you are, it doesn't matter. And thanks for tuning in. Welcome to another episode of The Gamer's Choice. Mom the Greek with the Geeks, Stelios Laudis. And you're tuned in to the first ever audio-only independent game review podcast ever. In each episode of the show, I'm going to be taking a deep dive into the world of video games, as I'm searching to find the best games for you to enjoy and the worst ones to avoid. Regardless of genre, franchise, or anything like that, I'm going to give you my personal opinion on these games. No bribes, no biased reviews, nothing at all like that. It's going to be 100% my legitimate opinion. Anyways, enough lemming around, let's begin the episode. Mario Party. It is undoubtedly one of the most popular party video games of all time. Originally, with its first entry in 1998, it was the game that you would play with your friends, with an interesting concept of a board game with Super Mario as a video game, fun gameplay, awesome minigames with some exemptions, and the ability to destroy your friendships after snatching that one star from someone else. And the franchise just kept on going stronger, getting sequel after sequel, and to sum it up, it's a real fun time overall. No matter which of these games you play, as long as you have some friends to join you, it will be sorely a blast, and great for when having actual parties. However, with success, there is always franchises that will try to make their own version of Mario Party to capitalize the success. And in today's episode, that bandicoot is no exception. Which then leads to Crash Boom Bang, not to be confused with the album by music band Roxette, or the band with the same name, a 2006 minigame collection party game and a spiritual successor to Crash Bass, released primarily on the Nintendo DS. And developed for the first time ever in the franchise by Japanese game developer company Dimps, who, yes, are known for some popular games in general. The Dragon Ball Z Budokai games, the Sonic Advance trilogy, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, yes, even Street Fighter V and more. So at first, it sounds like we're in a good path. However, you will notice that this was released at the time where the franchise of Crash Bandicoot was at its dark times. Basically, the 2000s, with some of the most average games like Crash Tag Team Racing, which was already released a year ago before Crash Boom Bang, and later on, the next 2 years, with the infamous Crash of the Titans and Crash Mind Over Mutant. So, you now realize that everything would go wrong with this game. Honestly though, back when I borrowed it from a person who I don't really remember and I have never returned the game, I used to have a lot of fun with it and it was a good time waster. But now that I grew up, I realized that I did a favor to them for not having this game anymore after so many years. So without further ado, I need to give an answer to this question. Is Crash Boom Bang a good game? No, it wasn't, and will never be. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of The Gamer's Choice, and I'll see you all next time. Seriously, I need to review this game, and I better do it as soon as possible, so let's not waste any goddamn time. So, we start off with the adventure mode, the main mode of this game, where you immediately see how crap the story is. Okay, jokes aside, I need to explain it. Basically, it's about some multimillionaire anthropomorphic Tasmanian devil guy, only known as the Viscount, who has discovered a map while developing a resort in Tasmania about some ancient city and its fabled super big power crystal, a way bigger version of the power crystal you already know that can grant one wish to someone. He attempts to find it himself, but due to some very complicated puzzles, he fails miserably. The solution to being able to find it? Gather a bunch of characters and fool them in order to help him find it by making a contest in the form of the World Cannonball Race, where the winner will allegedly get $100 million. Yeah, sounds about right. And of course, people in the likes of Crash Bandicoot, Coco, Pinstripe, and more came. So, of course, that means that the race can begin, as I have to travel to 6 stages in order to find this super big power crystal. Honestly, I have to be honest. This story is just stupid! Yes, it's simple and you get the point of things, but it comes with a cost. We don't get to know what the Viscount really wants to get from this super big power crystal in the entirety of the story. We don't get to know how it originated and exists, nothing from all that. Not to mention that the comic strip cutscenes before its stage begins are uninteresting, have occasionally some cheesy dialogue, and even to the point that the ending is very, but very anticlimactic. Also, who in their right mind will name their contest as the World Cannonball Race? It sounds stupid, and it's like as if you're gonna take a cannonball, you're gonna carry it, and you're gonna race around or something like that. And the name of the super big power crystal is so unoriginal that it makes me wanna cringe in pain saying it. This shows that it was clearly written in a way that tries to pander to the kids that don't give a crap about the quality of the game and want to play as their favorite band good. And as long as they enjoy the game, who will care? Actually, we do, because even if Crash Bandicoot games are known for the gameplay, their stories were at least good. Even the original Crash Bandicoot games, which were for children, even though they were hard in terms of gameplay, which is just so disappointing. The writing is just so bad. The only moment that was actually kinda smart when it comes to the writing was a reference to the Titanic movie on the scene for stage 5, where the Viscount talks about his grandfather who was also searching for the final key to find the power crystal and his unfortunate fate, that is the ship his grandfather was colliding with an iceberg and dying. And Coco from the audience says, "Sounds like a movie," which, again, it was the best line of dialogue I've ever read in the entire game, but that's honestly it. Aside from that, you don't get anything unique or interesting, nothing to put a spin on this story, and it's real bad. But okay, let's not judge the game by its story itself, because as I said, everyone plays Crash Bandicoot for the gameplay. So, how is it like? If you want to make a good Mario Party clone, you gotta take notes from what made the franchise succeed and put your own spin in it. Well, it did put its own spin into the gameplay, just like Crash Bandicoot spinning around, but it made quite a mess and a big, crass, pun intended. Some gameplay mechanics from Mario Party appear here in this game, although in some cases a little bit altered. You start the turn by deciding whether or not you want to use an item from your inventory, you roll the dice, you move through the board, although with everyone else moving at the same time too, and the turn eventually ends. There are multiple tiles that either award or deduct points in the form of Wumpa Fruits, are just empty, trigger a minigame, or trigger a special event. Well, it sounds real simple, right? It's like Mario Party. Well, don't expect that it's all going to be simple, because the rest of the mechanics are really confusing and overall a waste of your time. Firstly, there's this mechanic known as the motion panels. During minigames, you will notice icons appearing out of nowhere that say BOOM with a character's face, indicating that they sent it, which by itself obstructs your view on the minigame you play, and you can only fight it back by letting it either fade away or blowing it off with a microphone on the Nintendo DS. However, the game says that you can create your own ones, which, in concept, it's pretty awesome, as it will allow you to distract your enemies and cheer up your allies. Thing is though, in the execution, they don't really matter at all. Firstly, the way you create them is so slow. Okay. You need to go through a series of submenus, add a sticker, and then move it around so you can make your own little creation, put it in place and stuff. But if you want to make another change to the in the corresponding sticker, and you're in a different submenu, guess what? You can't do this. Instead, you gotta go back to the corresponding submenu and the corresponding sticker so you can move or remove it, while at the same time dealing with your turn and accidentally playing it automatically without wanting to yet building your stupid motion panel, unless we are in my room, a separate mode where you can do it without any need to worry about the game. And when you decide to put it into use, you will realize it does nothing. Why? Because it's actually meant for multiplayer with your friends, not on CPUs with Adventure Mode or Festival. And honestly, it's just a waste of time. Seriously. Like, you spend your time creating your own little masterpiece or your stupid thing, I guess, I don't know. And then all of a sudden you realize it doesn't work. Definitely avoid it at all costs. Unless if you're playing multiplayer, which, I mean, you can use it at any time. But overall, yeah, avoid it, don't waste time on it. Another thing I found a bit too complicated is the criteria that you need to meet in order to trigger a minigame. So there's the criteria that you gotta land on a battle royale, and no, I don't talk about the genre or battle score tile, but there's some weird ways that trigger a minigame. For example, I once was on a tile that dug some Wumpa fruit, and so happened that Pura was here, and a 1v1 minigame between me and Pura commenced instantly. I mean, I do get that it's similar to Mario Party with the tiles that give or take away coins and give you a specific color, but it doesn't really explicitly tell you all the ways to start a minigame here in Crash Boom Bank. Even worse is that there are cases where you don't actually get to play the minigame, because on specific cases, like with the example I mentioned before, only the characters that trigger specific criteria can engage in a minigame. The rest of the participants are absent. And if you're the one who's not in, welcome to the betting screen then. Here you can bet for the character in the minigame that you think will win, and if you successfully do so, you get more Wumpa fruits. Again, an interesting concept, even though it's kind of like gambling. Although, I see little to no usage of it if you have tons of Wumpa fruits. The only useful thing you can do is get to the sub, where you can buy special items and take the advantage on the game. As for the variety of items, others range from pretty useful to downright stupid. For example, there's sort of a useful item known as the Travel Pass, which sends you to another location that you normally have to access via a special event. But then there's an item that is an invitation letter and functions the same as the Travel Pass. Like, why make two different items if they work the same? Also, some of them are so stupid that I wonder why they made them. One example is an item whose purpose is to get an average number of Wumpa fruits that everyone has and make it so everyone nearly has the same point in order to even out the competition. Like, I'm sorry. I have over 60,000 Wumpa fruits and everyone else have much less. So why use an item like that when I am way too ahead of the competition? That makes no sense to use if you're already winning. Then there's these special events I said about before. Well, what are they? When triggered, it will commence an animation of something happening to your character and getting into a sub-map, separate from the main one, which can make things a little confusing. As firstly, you have to get back to the main map, and while you're trying to do so, you deal with your own luck of the roll of the dice, and even garbage tile placement, where there are many times that you deal with multiple tiles that remove points from you, and is overall a pain in the butt. It's even to the point of being a mechanic that you got to avoid and use, because in the stages where you have to find key items, there's the odds that it might be on these submaps. and are you straight to the point race to the finish stages, they might even cost you the 5,000 points bonus for reaching the finish if bad luck is on your side, which is just stupid. Worst part, nothing about the mechanics of the game are explained at all, and it expects you to be a wizard and understand everything and anything about this game. So if you're not a fast learner, you're gonna have a rough time. Now, as for the minigames, I can only describe them in just three words. Plain, uninspiring, boring. Every game you encounter is so simple that not only you will get bored in no time, but of course, panders to the kiddies again. Wanna tell you examples of Batman games? Count me in. There's Spot the Difference, Pizza Sub, where you make pizzas, Crash Billiards, where you have to put a billiard ball in one of the holes, and you get what I mean by that. Yes, it's unbelievably boring. There are only a few good minigames here and there, I'll be honest, but still, it doesn't help the fact that during gameplay, you might trigger the same game multiple times in a row. I had to play Pizza Sub once, 5 times in a row. What is this? A Mario Party with Crash Bandicoot or Crash Bandicoot Pizzeria Simulator? Overall though, this is the worst aspect of this game. The uninteresting, stupid, and plain simple minigames. Honestly, if I wanted to ever play Spot the Difference or make a pizza, I will do this in the real life, not in this terrible, crappy game. The graphics on this aspect are honestly not that good. Heck, not even when compared to Crash Bass, a PlayStation 1 game. Yes, you heard me right if you do not know. A PlayStation 1 game with more vibrant graphics and overall really pleasant to look at, even if they aged kinda. All characters have minimal facial animations, the movement animation in some cases is awkward, the colors are not as vibrant in comparison to Bass, and is overall not that enjoyable to watch. The sound of the game is also not good either. The music in its stage is essentially just a small loop over and over again, which, even if it doesn't affect me into my sanity, gets a little boring. The sound effects aren't necessarily that bad, but again, it can become annoying later on, especially with the motion panels that appear on your screen and do an explosion sound every single time. And that's all about Crash Boom Bang. What? You expecting more? Well, don't really expect that, because the rest of the modes are what you would expect. This is the most weirdest sentence I ever wrote. First one is Festival Mode. It's basically the same as Adventure, but allowing you to play any of the stages you want. That is, as long as you completed the Adventure Mode on your save file. Plus, it also allows for multiplayer with friends, so if you want to have some ironic fun with your friends, then go ahead, I'm not stopping you at all. I don't really have any friends personally, but if I do, and they all have this thing, then yeah, I can give it a go. And then there's My Room, which is essentially your character's personalized room in terms of appearance, although it works the same nonetheless. You can replay minigames you already play in Adventure Mode, also includes multiplayer support just like Festival, change the audio settings to mono, stereo, or headphones, get in the phone and connect with players to share your motion panels, create your own motion panel in peace from here, and that's pretty much it. Overall, I feel like I did an achievement today, which I'm really proud of. For the first time in TGC history, I'm gonna give the first ever low score. Crash Boom Bang is really bad. Even if the idea of a party game with Crash Bandicoot is interesting, even though we have Crash Bass already, it just fails. With its complicated mechanics and lack of tutorial, repetitive gameplay, an awful minigame collection, and a poorly written story that makes everything about this game so bad that I actually wish it goes boom by bomb. And that is why I give this game a 3.5 out of 10. It speaks volumes for games released at the dark times of Crash Bandicoot. Say anything about Tag Team Racing, the Titan Games, of course not the Titans and Mind of Mutant specifically, but these are better than this atrocity. It's no wonder it is the worst sales performing game, with only 90,000 copies sold worldwide. If you really want to play a party game with Crash Bandicoot, as I said before, Crash Bash Synapsis instead. And if you don't have a PS1, get one too. That is, if you have the money, of course. This one may not be the greatest, and it might have aged with some repetitive minigames and stuff like that, but it's still a fun game, honestly, and with friends, you will have a blast with it. Just don't get a bomb of this game in the form of Crash Boom Bang. It will make you go boom, and in a bad way. Anyways, thank you guys for checking out today's episode of The Gamer's Choice. If you really liked this episode, then make sure to like this podcast and follow it. And if you want to stay tuned on my social media, don't forget, Take a Soda, my handle is on Twitter, and Stelvius_TakesASoda on Instagram. I'm the Greek with the Geeks, Stelvius Laudis, and I'm signing off. Peace out.